Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 We read from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 14, The Forest of Enjoyment, Text 20. Please repeat. Sa,
sa,
eva,
eva,
puna,
puna,
nidra,
nidra,
ajagara,
ajagara,
grihita,
grihita,
ande,
ande,
tamasi,
tamasi,
magna,
magna,
Shunya aranye,
Shunya aranye,
Iva,
Iva,
Shete,
Shete,
Na,
Na,
Anyat,
Anyat,
Kinchana,
Kinchana,
Veda,
Veda,
Shava,
Shava,
Iva,
Iva,
Apavida,
Apavida.
So it's prose, I'll just read it through. Sa eva purnani drajagra grihito de tamasi magna sunya yaranya iva chete nanyat kinchana veda shara iva pavida. Please repeat. Sa,
sa,
that conditioned soul.
That conditioned soul.
Eva,
eva,
certainly.
Certainly.
Puna,
puna,
again.
Again.
Nidra,
nidra,
ajagara,
ajagara,
by the python of deep grahita,
grahita,
being devoured,
being devoured,
ande,
ande,
in deep darkness,
in deep darkness,
tamasi,
tamasi,
in ignorance,
in ignorance,
magna,
magna,
being absorbed,
being absorbed,
shunya aranye,
shunya aranye,
in the isolated forest,
in the isolated forest,
iva,
iva,
like,
like,
shete,
shete,
he lies down,
he lies down,
na,
na,
not.
Not.
Anyat.
Anyat.
Else.
Else.
Kinchana.
Kinchana.
Anything.
Anything.
Veda.
Veda.
Knows.
Knows.
Shava.
Shava.
A dead body.
A dead body.
Iva.
Iva.
Like.
Like.
Apavida.
Apavida.
Thrown away.
Thrown away.
Translation. Shukadeva Goswami continued speaking to Maharaj Parikshit. My dear king, sleep is exactly like a python. Those who wander in the forest of material life are always devoured by the python of sleep. Being bitten by this python, they always remain in the darkness of ignorance. They are like dead bodies thrown in a distant forest. Thus the conditioned souls cannot understand what is going on in life. Please repeat. Shukadev Goswami continued speaking.
Shukadev Goswami continued speaking.
To Maharaj Parikshit.
Maharaj Parikshit.
My dear King.
My dear King.
Sleep is exactly like a python.
Sleep is exactly like a python.
Those who wander in the forest of material life.
Those who wander in the forest of material life.
Are always devoured by the python of sleep.
Are always devoured by the python of sleep.
Being bitten by this python.
Being bitten by this python.
They always remain.
They always remain.
In the darkness of ignorance.
In the darkness of ignorance.
They are like dead bodies.
They are like dead bodies.
Thrown in a distant forest.
Thrown in a distant forest.
Thus the conditioned souls cannot understand.
Thus the conditioned souls cannot understand.
What is going on in life?
What is going on in life?
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Material life means being fully absorbed in eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. Out of these, sleep is taken very seriously. While asleep, one completely forgets the object of life and what to do. For spiritual realization, one should try to avoid sleep as much as possible. The Goswamis of Vrindavan practically did not sleep at all. Of course, they slept some, for the body requires sleep, but they slept only about 2 hours, and sometimes not even that. They always engaged in spiritual cultivation. Nidrahara vihara kati vichito. Following in the footsteps of the Goswamis, we should try to reduce sleeping, eating, mating, and defending. Translation again. Shukadeva Goswami continued speaking to Maharaj Parikshit. My dear King, sleep is exactly like a python. Those who wander in the forest of material life are always devoured by the python of sleep. Being bitten by this python, they always remain in the darkness of ignorance. They are like dead bodies thrown in a distant forest. Thus these conditioned souls cannot understand what is going on in life. So these 4 activities of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending are common to human beings and animals. And if the human being is absorbed in these 4 activities, he is no better than an animal. And most people are absorbed in these 4 activities. what distinguishes a human being from animals is dharma, or activities performed according to religious principles for the pleasure of the Lord. Otherwise, dharmena hina pasubhi samana. Without dharma, a human being is the same as an animal. Now, these four principles, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, may be considered necessities of life, for the conditioned soul. And so one does not avoid them. Even the six Goswamis, although they very much reduced eating and sleeping, they did eat a little and sleep a little to keep the body and soul together for engaging in devotional service. But they did not eat or sleep more than required. Now we, conditioned souls, have a tendency not only to sleep, but to consider sleep to be very important. As Srila Prabhupada says in the purport of these, sleep is taken very seriously. At one stage in my illustrious career before meeting Srila Prabhupada, I somehow had the idea that I needed to increase my sleeping. This was during school holidays. I thought I must increase my sleeping. So I actually kept a log of how much I slept, and I was trying to keep the figures as high as possible. Right? 9 hours, 10 hours, oh, 10 hours. That was really good. Actually, the opposite is true. Not exactly the opposite, but one should be moderate in one's eating, sleeping, and recreation. That is the instruction of the Bhagavad Gita. And moderate means not too much and not too little. One should not eat too much or eat too little. One should not sleep too much or sleep too little. And what is the appropriate amount for each person has to be determined by each person. He or she knows. But then one should be disciplined, and especially one should not sleep late in the morning. One should go to sleep early and get up early. And this is common knowledge. Even Benjamin Franklin said early to bad odor to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. Amarendra was getting very excited when he heard he can become wealthy.
I like it, he works, but I don't know how to be wealthy.
But yes, that's true. Actually, Srila Prabhupada, I'm saying disciple, he actually never initiated him, but Dr. Narendra Desai was a leading industrialist in Bombay, and he surrendered to Srila Prabhupada, but it was very close to the end of Srila Prabhupada's physical presence with us on the planet, so it was never initiated by Srila Prabhupada. He took initiation after Srila Prabhupada left. But he would get up very early in the morning. Once I visited him at his home very early in the morning, without an appointment, and I found he was sitting with his legs crossed and his eyes closed, very intently chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And he told me that he always gets up early and chants his rounds, and that in the course of chanting his rounds, or in the period after chanting his rounds, he gets insights in how to conduct his business. His father was a very shrewd businessman, a very big industrialist, and people were thinking after his father died how he would conduct the business, because they didn't think he was as sharp or shrewd as his father. But actually the business grew and grew, it multiplied many times. So yes, early to bed and early to rise. And in the case of devotees, rise early to attend Mangalar, to attend the temple program. Now, in let us say, be frank, you know, during Srila Prabhupada's time and the early years after Srila Prabhupada left, Mangal Arati was a necessity. You had to attend Mangal Arati. You could not miss Mangal Arati. And your sleep, you had to fit in your sleep somehow or other, but you had to attend Mangal Arati. But as time went on, this idea of taking one's sleep very seriously became more prominent. And then it's like, well, I'll attend Mangal Arati if I feel I've had enough sleep. In Calcutta, we had a hired cook named Shanti Lal. Actually quite a nice devotee, and I mean, he's a nice person, an excellent cook. But Srila Prabhupada said that he must attend Mangal Arati. If he wants to work for us and cook for us, he must attend Mangal Arati, and that will force him to take rest early and not engage in nonsense. So that was sort of the principle. I myself am not the best example now. I mean, for 30 years I've never missed Mangalarti, no matter how late you got back from a preaching program. Now in my old age. But I get up early, but I don't always come to Mangalarti. And sleeping through sunrise is considered very inauspicious. Even according to Ayurveda, if one sleeps through sunrise, one becomes, one is affected by the mode of ignorance, tamagun. Of course, we can try to counteract it by chanting and other activities, but it's really much better to get up before sunrise, at least. And Mangalarti means an hour and a half before sunrise. At Brahma Muhurta, which is the most auspicious time for spiritual advancement. And even other traditions are aware of the universal truth that the early hours before sunrise are the best for spiritual advancement. I had some friends or acquaintances in Bombay who were Ahmadiyyas, the followers of Muhammad. The Ahmadiyyas is sort of, it's a bit controversial amongst Muslims, but you could say it's a sect of Muslims. And they came to the Juhu temple for Mangalarti, and they said that according to their understanding, God or Allah hears your prayers more seriously when you offer the prayers before sunrise. And in practically every mystic tradition, Muslim, Christian, Jewish, of course it's taken for granted, Hindu and Buddhist, the practitioners rise early in the morning before sunrise. And then immediately they bathe. In the case of devotees, put on devotional dress, come to the temple. But one should not sleep too little also. In the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a discussion of the different elements of creation. This is called Sankhya, analyzing the different elements in existence. And so one of the elements is intelligence. And under intelligence, one of the items is sleep. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that if one does not get enough sleep, one's brain will not function properly. So one should not eat too much or eat too little, sleep too much or sleep too little. It's extremely dangerous to drive a car without having had sufficient sleep. It can also be very dangerous to run a machine, a big machine, if one has not had sufficient rest in when I participated in His Holiness Indradrami Swami's Polish festival tour, I found that his driver was a very nice devotee, very nice devotee. His driver would not attend the festival programs. So once I asked the driver why, I mean, they're so blissful, so ecstatic. And, you know, he said, Guru Maharaj doesn't allow me to attend because he wants me to take rest early. I mean, he had been allowed to attend maybe up till 8 o'clock, but the program was really getting going, 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock. Yes, Guru Maharaj wants me to have enough sleep so I can drive attentively. So that is important, not too much, not too little. But generally, it could be either, but generally the problem is not too little, the tendency is more too much. So we'll discuss that. There was a time when we were in Gorakhpur when Srila Prabhupada noticed that disciples were sleeping during his class. Earlier, one disciple had approached Srila Prabhupada, and the classes were very interesting about Ajaneel and the Holy Name. We didn't have the sixth canto then, so it was all new information. It's very interesting. But so one morning, one of the disciples said to Srila Prabhupada, that was a wonderful class. It was a wonderful class. Srila Prabhupada said, oh, you thought so? He said, yes. And what about the other devotees? What did they think? And the disciples said, well, frankly speaking, Srila Prabhupada, many of them were sleeping during the class. And Srila Prabhupada said, yes, I know. Practically I am speaking only for a few sincere disciples. So it became a bit of a topic, of sleeping. And one morning, Srila Prabhupada was speaking, and there was a very strong tendency to doze during the class. And Srila Prabhupada interrupted the class to discuss this matter. Why? Why the sleeping? Why all the sleeping? So, different devotees offered different answers. We needed sleep earlier at night. We shouldn't eat so much at night. Different things. But Srila Prabhupada didn't really take those suggestions too seriously. He said that you will not sleep when you consider Krishna consciousness to be so important that you feel you can't afford to miss it. Like, you might feel tired, say a parent might feel tired, but if there's like a crisis with the child, health crisis, accidental, it doesn't matter, you feel tired, you wake up and you deal with it. Or if you heard there is a large sum of money waiting for you, but you had to reach by a certain time, you know, even if you were sleepy, you just shake it off and go. Because we consider these things important in material life, our children, like our life, they're so important. Money. Money is the honey. So, Srila Prabhupada was saying that when we consider Krishna consciousness to be so important that we can't afford to miss it, then we will not sleep more than necessary, or at the wrong time during Prabhupada's class. And he said, many great men didn't sleep much. I cannot remember if it was Alexander the Great or Napoleon, but one of the great conquerors, he wouldn't sleep. The only time he would sleep was on his horse. And I think Gandhiji also didn't sleep much. When he was riding on the train, he would sleep, but otherwise he wouldn't sleep. So when our sense of mission is so strong, then we won't want to waste time with sleep. There was one incident in Juhu. It was very close to the end in Srila Prabhupada's last year. One member of parliament was arranging a meeting between Srila Prabhupada and the new Prime Minister of India, Morarji Desai. And Srila Prabhupada had said that he would not go to Morarji Desai's home to meet him, but he would meet him only if Morarji Desai came to the temple. And Prabhupada said, I'm not proud that I can't go to see him, but my meeting with him will be effective only if he has the right mood. And if he comes to see me, it will show that he has the right mood. So we presented that to the member of parliament, and the meeting was set for the next day. We were waiting very eagerly for the phone call. And finally, the member of parliament phoned quite late at night. I mean, it was, I don't remember exactly, but somewhere around maybe 11:30 even. And he said, you know, the Prime Minister would like to come to Juhu to meet Prabhupada, but his schedule is too tight. But he can still meet him at his residence. So I wasn't sure what to say or do. So I went up to Prabhupada's quarters. And yeah, it was something like that, 11:30 at night. And I wasn't sure, you know, if I should even go in. But anyway, I went around, and it was a big room upstairs, in the tower. So I saw in the distance, Prabhupada was sitting at his translating desk. He saw me and the motion, so I came to him. And I said, I really am sorry to come so late at night. I didn't want to intrude. And Srila Prabhupada said that now that I'm sick, I can't sleep. And I can't eat also. And he said, I'm mating and defending, there's no question. So I guess I'm liberated. Yes, liberated from the bodily conception means we don't identify with the body and we do what's needed, but that's all. We don't indulge. But there was a very interesting discussion with Srila Prabhupada in 1976 about how people are not sincere in their work. And he was discussing the peons in Calcutta. Peons are something like postmen, but like every office will have peons, and then they deliver letters and so on. And then they have a register, and when they deliver the letter, they get the signature. So, Srila Prabhupada said that he would see all the peons sleeping in Dalhousie Square in Calcutta. They'd sleep for hours, using their register, keeping their register under their heads as a pillow. And then, at about 5 or 6, just a little before it was time for the offices to close for the day, they would go back to their office and say, I went to such and such place, and the boss was not there, and I waited for so many hours. They kept saying he would be coming, but he never came, and then in the end I had to leave without leaving. And Prabhupada said they consider it to be a very great profit if they could sleep for many hours during the day. They felt they had really gained by doing that. And then one of the disciples that Prabhupada was speaking with was saying, yes, it's the opposite of devotees. They feel if they sleep, it's a loss. And if they can stay awake and do service, it's a gain. And they're thinking, yeah, if they can sleep, it's a big profit for them. So that's the material concept, right? By eating, sleep, and do everything more, do the animal things more. And devotees' ideas to decrease them as far as possible for a higher cause. Not just for the sake of performing some austerity, but for a higher cause. To develop a higher taste. Yeah, but even if we don't have the higher taste, we do it as a matter of discipline. Srila Prabhupada gives the example in the Nectar of Devotion that in the beginning, one will wake up by force, the spiritual master is ordered, I must get up by 4 o'clock, I must go to the temple, Mangalarti, or to dress the deer. But later, one will want to get up early. One will, on his own or her own, want to get up early and rush to the temple, see the deity, think of so many ways to serve the deity, dress the deity, serve the deity. Nicely, it becomes spontaneous. Sometimes in India, you can really get a sense of that spontaneous devotion. I mean, there are many examples, but a vivid example is the Radha Govindaji temple in Jaipur. I mean, early in the morning, you know, when it's still dark, devotees are rushing from all over the city to Govindaji for Mangal Aarti. It's like it's so inspiring, and there's so much devotion. It's really inspiring, I think. Many devotees who go to the Govindaji temple have the same experience. They feel that their consciousness is uplifted by the association of these wonderful, spontaneous devotees in Jaipur. And apart from the Govindaji temple, there are some other temples. The Govindaji temple is in one of the gardens of the royal family. And so one of the kings, one of the famous kings of Jaipur, was Maharaj Jai Singh. And he had a son. And that son had two sons. I'm not remembering their names. So those two sons were killed in battle, fighting the Muslims. And so their father, Jai Singh's son, he constructed two temples, twin temples, mirror images of each other, opposite each other, sort of behind the Govindaji temple and to the side. And so we, on my last visit there, with His Holiness Indradumna Swami, we visited the twin temples. And we had, so in one of the temples, the deity is Radha Gopal. Deities of Radha Gopal, very nice Radha Krishna deities. And in the other one, the deity is Yamuna Devi, or Ganga Devi. And there's like a solid gold lota urn filled with Yamuna water. And, very nice. So we were speaking to the pujari. And the pujari was something in his 60s or 70s. And he said he had been coming to that temple every morning getting up at about 2 o'clock and coming to the temple, reaching the temple, say, by 3. To do the worship. And he said, if I were just living at home, I never would have been able to get up that early. But I have so much faith in the service of Yamuna Devi, I don't want to miss. And in all my, 45 years, I've never missed, or maybe once. I think maybe he said never missed. And so that's the mood, and he admitted it, frankly. If I was just at home, I wouldn't have been able to get up that early. But the service of Yamuna Devi, fund. I will always come. And he said, even though I'm so old, in my 70s, I'm in a very good health. And I attribute this to getting up early, you know, to my healthy lifestyle and to the service of Imunadevi, the mercy of Imunadevi. So, association, yes, association is so important. For a higher cause. And many devotees, they get up early, 2 o'clock, and chant their rounds before Mangalarti. The temple president in Los Angeles, Savas Das, he gets up at 2 and chants his rounds before Mangalarti. Because, you know, the Los Angeles temple is a very big community, there's a temple, gift shop, restaurant, and so many departments, book distribution, DBT. So he feels it's essential that he chants all of his rounds before there's any disturbance. Because once there's a disturbance, you know, being a manager like that, then you never know. You know, okay, well, we have the time to chant in the temple from Mangalarti to deity greeting. But in a big temple with a big community of devotees and a number of departments, something could come up even during that time. Something could come up at 5:30 in the morning or 6. And then you deal with that and it could take more time and then you haven't chanted your rounds. So he said he didn't want to take that chance. So there are other devotees that get up at 2 and chant before Mangalarti. So it's a matter of habit. You can pretty much do anything if you develop the habit. And so happens sometimes is we, Hare Krishna's back, is we periods when we develop good habits. I mean, the whole temple program is meant to for us to develop the habit of rising early, attending Mangalarti, chanting our rounds during the class. Of course, it gets complicated when you're married, and even more so when you have children. But still, it's as far as possible. That's there. And according to circumstances, one might sort of replicate the morning program in one's home. Still, you know, get up and do everything. When we were traveling with Srila Prabhupada, we didn't always have the full morning program in the temple. But we'd always gather in this room early in the morning and just sing the samsara prayers. Just be sitting down at his lotus feet and sing the samsara prayers. So it makes a difference. It makes a difference. And many devotees who've gone through the phase of sleeping late, missing the morning program. Later on, after some years, they realize that they've been missing something, and then they try to again, get up early again, have Mangalarti or attend Mangalarti, and chant their rounds and so on. And they say, like, what a difference it makes. It makes such a huge difference. So, it's worth it. It's amazing how a small change for the good or the bad can affect you. I remember in the early days in Juhu when we just had the does anyone know what's going on? We're speaking about the deities. Sometimes I go through a period when I was really struggling. And you struggle, you try different things to make yourself feel better. But often it came down to something very basic, like not chanting all my rounds early in the morning, or overeating. There was a period when, there was like some disturbance. I couldn't figure out exactly what it was, trying. And I realized I wasn't controlling my tongue. I was eating too much. So, some little adjustments can make a huge difference. Srila Prabhupada was very painstaking in setting up the routine for us and explaining what the standard was. I don't want to embarrass him, but our very learned and wise devotee Janak Maharaj received an instruction from Tamal Krishna Goswami that he should attend class every day. And if no one comes to give class, he should read Srimad Bhagavatam to the deity. And he's been doing that ever since he got the instruction. That's like the faith. You have faith in the order of the Guru. Our mind can think of so many excuses, rationalizations, justifications, how the situation is different now. But he's taken that instruction and so many other instructions from his Guru Maharaj very seriously. And because of his faithful adherence to those instructions, he's, very fixed in Krishna consciousness. So that is a very important lesson. The Chaitanya Charitamrita tells the story of the Brahmin at the Ranganath temple. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to visit the Ranganath temple in South India, he saw this Brahmin in front of the temple with the Bhagavad Gita. And there were people around the Brahmins who were, you know, making fun at him, laughing at him. And the Brahmin himself was weeping. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu approached the Brahmin, like, what is happening? And the Brahmin explained that that my Guru Maharaj instructed me to read the Bhagavad Gita every day. But I'm more or less illiterate, so I cannot really read properly. Sometimes I hold the book this way and sometimes I hold it that way. I don't even know which way to hold the book. So they're laughing at me. And why are you crying? Because when I hold the Bhagavad Gita, I think of Krishna, how merciful he was to drive the chariot of Arjuna and instruct him in the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. So when I hold the book, this picture of Krishna comes in my mind, and thinking of his kindness and mercy, I weep. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu approved and said, you are the real knower of the Bhagavad Gita. And he embraced him. So that faith in the order of the spiritual master, even if one is not capable in a material sense, to execute it, but to have faith in the order and execute it. Try to execute it. So that will help us. And that applies to this discussion about the morning program. It applies to every detail of the instructions that we've received. There was maybe 2 months ago, I received excerpts from a new book being compiled from the teachings of His Holiness Gaur Govinda Swami Maharaj by his disciple Madhavananda Das. And Madhavananda sent me some excerpts from the book because he wanted me to write a review. And I read it. And at one place, he really emphasizes that all of our advancement comes by the mercy of the Guru. We cannot make any advancement by any other means except mercy. We do sadhana. We make our efforts to do sadhana, but we don't make advancement from the sadhana, we make advancement from the mercy. So one disciple asked, well then why even do sadhana? And he replied, because the Guru has ordered us to do sadhana. So we have to follow the order of the Guru. But it's not that the sadhana that we make advancement by doing the sadhana, that we make advancement by the mercy we get in the course of making the effort. So it's I will just conclude with one story. It was actually the night before I left Vrindavan to go to Delhi, Bombay, London, back to Santa Barbara. And I visited a garden or a compound that belonged to a devotee named Ram Das, who had been the head pujari in Los Angeles. And Ram Das became very elevated in Krishna consciousness at the end. And he came to Vrindavan and he just stayed there until he left his body. And he had so much faith in Srila Prabhupada. His whole focus was to follow the orders of Srila Prabhupada. And, at the end, he was just fixed on Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. And at the end, he made a list of devotees, and he wanted his wife to give them each like a framed image of Srila Prabhupada's lotus feet. And so some months later, his wife came to Los Angeles and gave me mine. So, I could say so much about him. One thing she mentioned, just by the way, among so many other things, his wife, was that his philosophy as head pujari was to take good care of the pujaris. That if he took good care of the pujaris would take good care of the deities. So he had that service attitude to the Lord and the devotees. So anyway, he was a very mystical person. I think his wife was pretty mystical herself. He was black-bodied, she's white-bodied. And after he left, he visited a number of devotees, and he more or less gave them all the same message. And the message was that it's really good on the other side. You cannot imagine how good it is. Now, we read about it and talk about it, but you cannot imagine how good it is. And so whatever difficulties you are facing now, it's all right. It doesn't matter. Just tolerate the difficulties and push forward to your goal, because it's really good, and when you get to the other side, you will realize that whatever it took to get here was worth it. So, we should have the goal in mind, and we should have faith and conviction that if we just continue with the process wholeheartedly, we will reach the goal. And then whatever hardships we encountered along the way will seem most insignificant. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
questions or comments.
Maharaj, in your book, Watching the Seeds, you have mentioned about 12 pages on when to sleep, how to sleep, and not elaborating too much yet. Two, three things you have mentioned very precisely and nicely. Number one is that how much you need to sleep or how much you want to sleep. So those two sentences are very striking in my mind. I will pick up the first one. Although I want to sleep. And secondly, how nicely you have really glorified Mahakrishna Goswami Maharaj in such a way that you are saying that, oh, I have tolerance, I can take gold. I don't know, one given day you had to go to the temple for Mangala Arati. I don't know if it was in Vrindavan or somewhere. And you mentioned that it was so cold. It was so cold that he said, I wanted to study. But the second line, you mentioned that he's a strong, very strong devotee, like Mahakrishna Goswami. He got up, took the bath, and went to the Mangala. That was very nice.
Yes, Amarendra Prabhu is referring to when we were at the Ardha Kumbh Mela in 1971. It was very cold, very cold, December, January. And it's true, we didn't want to get up. We were living in tents, we were in our sleeping bags, and when we got up, we would have to go outside, and there was like a pump. We'd like pump this cold water and, you know, take a cold bath and go to Mangala Arati. So it was really easier and more comfortable to just stay in our sleeping beds. But it's true, there were a few very staunch men, Tamal Krishna Goswami and Hansadutta Prabhu. Those two, maybe one other. And they would get up early and they would go to the Ganges. They would take bath in the Ganges before Mangala Arati. And Srila Prabhupada detected that we were sleeping late and he knew it wasn't good for our spiritual life. So one morning he got up early and he took bath in the freezing cold under a pump. And so, you know, the news spread, Prabhupada's. And then that like shook us up, and then we all got out of our sleeping beds. And we knew he could do it again. He could keep doing it until we stopped sleeping late. And we didn't want that. It was like so sort of painful to see him in that freezing cold. So that shook us out of our complacency. Yes, Anthony, and then Chuck.
Sometimes we know we should wake up early, but then we just keep failing ourselves over and over. So how should we lament about it, or how should we fix that? How should we think about it when we fail ourselves over and over?
Well, a lot has to do with association. In the beginning, later, you know, when one develops more taste and eagerness. But it's good to lament, to repent. I mean, you shouldn't like get too depressed. Like, oh, I'm so full. I don't even want to live. I'm just going to close my eyes. sleep because I'm just so bad. We don't want to come to that position. But we should feel uncomfortable, and to counteract the discomfort, not like blot it out by going to sleep or, you know, watching television, but to actually work towards that. I remember one night, Jayadwaita Swami and I happened to be together in Spain, sleeping together in the temple president's office at night. So before we took rest, he told me that, you know, at 4 o'clock, whatever, 4:15, I want you to wake me up. And, you know, I want you to do whatever it takes to wake me up. And, you know, if speaking to me and shouting doesn't work, then you can pour water on my face. But you have to wake me up. And if I say something different in the morning, don't listen to me. Listen to what I'm telling you tonight. Don't listen to what I might tell you in the morning. So, yes. Well, all right, Janet Mara.
I'm talking about the light side, talking to sleep. People say that the dream comes if you midnight and in the early morning. The dream is true. So sometimes I dream at this time. The divine dream, not I hate the material dreams. The divine dreams comes in my mind, and I've seen them here. So, during the sleeping, 2 o'clock, I do not but between 3 to 4:30, I got a good dream. Only I got a dream of the new temple. Because I was thinking of the new temple, when it is over, when it is over. And it came in my mind. And I saw the new temple. And new temple was in 3 years. And there are other people and both surrounding walls are of glass, very beautiful glass. And the wall is very well built, and the people can see when he circulated the whole altar. People can see to decide the ladies on the glass. And there is no eight number on me, on the wall. And I have been there on the day for this more than me, yes. So it's a long dream, I got this dream. So many times I got the dream. And I come and yesterday, then I wake up. And sometimes I got the color of the dish. And in the morning the same dish was
very nice. Wonderful. That's true. I mean, generally, like for ordinary people, sleep is just going into oblivion and ignorance. But devotees, he can have divine dreams, like you said. And I think also, I mean, I'm referring to my Vaidya, but he goes strictly according to Ayurvedic Shastra. Because there was a time when I was dreaming a lot, and, you know, there's like deep sleep and Sushupti, there's like dreaming sleep and then wakefulness. So I was afraid that because I was dreaming too much that I wasn't getting enough deep sleep, so I mentioned it to him. So he asked what I was dreaming about. And at that time they were pretty devotional dreams. And he said, well, that's all right. You know, if you have those kinds of dreams, that's all right. It will be all right. You don't have to worry about not getting enough deep sleep without dreams. So that's nice. That's nice. We should all be so fortunate, we're so absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Yeah, I was going to call on Chakri Prabhu and then Sarvabhauma Prabhu.
I just wanted to agree with your thought on what it was like in the earlier days of the movement. Because I originally joined in 1973 at the Henry Street Temple, and it was like you had to come to Mangalarti every morning. It was not an optional thing. And
that's a lot has to do with the leaders. There was a time, I mean, not to like, but anyway, there was a time when Shamsundar Prabhu was coming to the morning program. I mean, there was a time he wasn't, and then there was a time he was. And what I heard was that when he started coming, then gradually more and more other devotees started to come. He didn't preach about it as such. He just came. And just by his coming, gradually more and more other devotees started to come, and that the attendance was building up. And it really, from what I heard, it really increased their respect for him. And it made the relationships among the devotees, between him and the other devotees, and just among the devotees in general, it made it very congenial and sweet. But then he had some health issue. I don't know, he had like a little stroke or something, and that sort of, from my ear, it was going very well, but then. And when he had that health issue, he physically just couldn't keep it up anymore. But, Janak Maharaj, what exactly did Gurudev tell you about the class?
In the beginning, I was initiated and I was doing the deity worship every day and coming in the Mangala Arati. At that time, we are not so much trained. We are a new devotee. I and Chaitanya are shown. And Vyapi Prabhu is here. Chaitanya Chandra Devi here. They are giving the Bhagavatam class. What time? Between 6:30 to 7. So I used to preach the deity worship and 6:30 coming in this temple and hearing the Bhagavatam class. 6:30 to 7 and 7 o'clock Alti and then Prabhupada Alti and that's finished. So this program is going on. Vyapa Prabhu left this temple and so many other Prabhupada's devotee is not here. The Bhagavad class is stopped. At that time Gurudev came. And Gurudev came and asked me that why the Bhagavad class is not going on. And I told the whole story. At that time he told me that from now on you should have a Bhagavatam and sit near the Prabhupada. And if nobody is here, you have to read loudly. And you like to speak about, you should speak. You will hear. So this is his order. And from that day, and not the 6:30 class, after 7:30, after Prabhupada Arati, it is going on, 7:30 to 8:30 or 9. So we started every day, one by one, the Bhagavatam class. Still I am giving the Bhagavatam class. No doubt I have so much eye problem. So nowadays I read the purport somebody and I give the class. I cannot read properly with the poor light. So this is the program we are carry on now by mercy of my spiritual master. I'm talking about again the dream. Now I told the dream also in Prabhupada appearance day that one day I dreamed that I came to the temple and Prabhupada, when I bowed down to Prabhupada put his leg on front. And I thought that Prabhupada is tired, so I massaged the leg. And again he put this leg again and put in another leg. And I massaged this leg. So, no doubt I am fortunate in dream. I have not seen Prabhupada, but I am fortunate in dream that I have massaged his lotus feet. Hare Krishna Maharaj. Thank you.
All right. So, I think we had a good discussion. As we discuss in our japa seminars, that definitely it's best to chant all of one's rounds at a stretch in the early morning. But if by circumstances one is unable to do so, then that's plan A. One should also have a plan B, just in case. And it could vary from person to person what the plan B is, but it could be like late afternoon, early evening. Many of Srila Prabhupada's personal servants, they couldn't chant early in the morning because they were taking care of Srila Prabhupada, but then like in the late afternoon, like maybe 4 to 6, they go juhu. They just go to the beach and chant their rounds. So it's not, I mean, yes, we are presenting the ideal, and we want to work towards the ideal, but in the meantime, there are other options. And but yes, and the association helps, chanting in front of the deities helps, chanting in front of Tulsi Devi helps. So today, I mean, I was also sort of took a couple of days to try to recover from my travels. But this evening there's a program in Sugar Land, and then I'm hoping to give class tomorrow morning, and then of course there'll be the evening class tomorrow, and Monday is Srimad Avendrapuri's disappearance day, so we'll have a program in the evening. It's good to chant together. It's really good to chant together. I was going to say one other thing, but it slipped my mind. So. All right, maybe it'll come out in the next class. So come back. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanandi.
Jai.